This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The sign from Bailey.
Got him,
and that's the ball game. Ramirez unhappy. But it did look like it hit the inside corner. And the Giants snapped their three-game losing streak. Hey, you pound on 11 hits, and you win 2-0. It's still a little bit of torture.
Hello there. Torture it was for the... Wow, what a great start to the show. Breaking the arm off already.
Easy, Sammy.
Oh, man. What a great way to start the show. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The new all-Giants talk show that we'll be doing every Saturday morning here on 95.7 The Game. Sam Lubman here with Dan Devone. And look at that, Dan. Barely 30 seconds into the show, we already got a something going wrong here. I just pulled the mic arm right out of the
socket.
You're
already making more contact than the Giants have in the last month.
Basically.
That's what you're doing.
That is what's going on there. So
take the win last night, though.
No, I'll take it. 2-0 win for the Giants last night. That was Dwayne Kuiper on the call there for NBC Sports Bay Area. Giants win 2-0 over the Miami Marlins at the now called Lone Depot Park, which, Dan, I don't know if you've ever been out to Miami and been to that ballpark. Very underrated ballpark.
It's a bucket list for me.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, except I learned a horrible reality yesterday. The Clevelander out in left field was closed a couple years ago by Derek Jeter.
Oh, the Cleveland. So I've been to the Clevelander Hotel in Miami Beach. It's one of the same.
Yeah, no, they got the bar out there too. Yeah, sure. I've been there as well. It's a great hangout spot. I think highly questionable on ESPN actually films. It's would film its shows there. But yeah, no, there's the Clevelander that's in the actual ballpark of Lone Depot Park. But yeah, they closed it down a couple years ago. They even filled in the pools that were in there. So it's basically just like a normal restaurant in left field now instead of a fun little nightclub.
It looks like a nightclub and there happens to be a baseball game going on at times.
No, it's so I did it a couple times and it's like you're sitting there and the baseball purist inside of you is just like, this is so wrong. Like you can't have showgirls dancing in front of pitchers who are warming up in the bullpen. But then at the same time, you're just like, actually, no, this is kind of cool. Like this is just such a Miami way to enjoy baseball. And what I really love about Lone Depot Park, and we are going to talk actual Giants baseball, don't worry, but it's one of those ballparks that, like, if you took the entire city of Miami and squished it into a ballpark, it would be it. Like, it truly captures the entire essence of the city in that ballpark there. It really pays tribute to the city, which it should, seeing as it, you know, it's built on the ashes of the old Orange Bowl, R.I.P.O.B. But yeah, Giants take a 2-0.
Before we move on, because you spent, for the people that don't know, you spent time in Miami. You went to the University of Miami.
I did, 4 years University of Miami.
Which I think is fabulous, because we're so California-based when it comes to our colleges, whether it's the Pac-12. I went to the University of Arizona. Everybody is sort of like out State. Here in the West. One of the schools I wanted to go to was the University of Miami, believe it or not. I didn't have the cojones to pull the trigger at age 17, 18. So hats off to you. But the one question I have when it comes to the Marlins and that mercurial fan base of theirs, like, how do you get your arms around that? I know the Derek Jeter thing didn't work. They've won titles, but that place does not draw. And it's Miami, for crying out loud. And I know people much smarter than me have tried to get their arms around filling out that ballpark, or at least generating some level of excitement with that. It's Miami at the end of the day, for crying out loud.
Yeah, how fans wrap their arms around that team down there, Dan, the answer is simple. They don't.
Not at all.
No, there is very little enthusiasm for the Marlins down there for a couple reasons.
So I mean, is it Dolphins first, or is it Hurricanes?
It's Dolphins far and away number one. Well, I don't know, the Panthers right now, the Florida Panthers, they're rising up the power rankings down in South Florida.
Hockey.
Hockey's starting to take over down there. I mean, it's never going to be what the Dolphins are. The Dolphins are always king. Football is always king. It's Dolphins and Canes.
Panthers, kinda, by the way, their third straight Stanley Cup appearance.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's, Dolphins, Canes, they dominate. The Heat, they're relevant too. Panthers, obviously, rising up the rankings. Miami Hurricanes baseball will get
really?
Some play.
Before
Inter Miami is big down there. I think the presence of Lionel Messi is a big reason for that. And then you got your high school sports, you know, Miami Northwestern, St. Thomas Aquinas, two of the big powerhouses down there.
Not bigger than the Marlins. Is Highlight bigger than
Then and then they're going to talk a little Canes men's hoops. They'll probably talk some Canes women's hoops, though, since Coach Katie Meyer stepped down a few years ago. I don't think they do that. And then if there's time, they might be like, oh, hey, did you know the Marlins are a thing? All right, let's get out of that one. So, well, there's a reason, though, Dan, and that's because
they feel screwed.
No, it's absolutely that. Like, first off, I mean, there's the 97 title where they bought everybody and then sold everyone off. They went, lost 108 games.
Did it a couple of times. Years.
Yes, the worst drop-off a World Series champion has ever had. And then, of course, they did it again in 2003. And that 2003 Marlins team, for me, Dan, brings me great pain because of what they did to my Giants in the 2003 division series of that year. But that 2003 Marlins team really resonated with that fan base down there. They really love that team. And Jeffrey Loria, who's the owner at the time, went in and broke it right up, just like they always do. And it's kind of like we see here with the A's, but like on steroids in terms of the mistreatment that the fans get down there. And then when it comes to Marlins Park, which should be a ballpark that's filled up every night with how nice it is, the team stinks, obviously. That's part of it. But the way that ballpark was built is probably one of the worst ways you can ever build a ballpark.
In terms of funding.
In terms of funding, in terms of location, in terms of every single step from A to B. You had, first off, they knocked down the old Orange Bowl, one of the true landmarks in Miami, the home of the Miami
Love
Hurricanes.
The Orange Bowl.
Home of all sorts of Super Bowls, great iconic moments. And they knocked it down because they wanted to put this ballpark in Little Havana to, you know, reach out to the Cuban population down there. But then what ends up happening is the Marlins president, David Sampson, who is a big guest on the Morning Roast a lot, completely screwed over. Yeah, in Nothing Personal podcast, completely screwed over the city of Miami.
Yeah.
He absolutely fleeced them and conned the city into a $2 billion bill for this stadium at a location no one wanted, a stadium that no one by and large wanted down in Miami, and just absolutely conned the city out of all this money. And so, yeah, that's another reason why a lot of people don't have a lot of warm feelings to the Marlins. So, we could go all day on all the reasons why fans down there don't like the Marlins. But instead, let's go all day.
Wait, before we leave Miami, Cuban sandwiches are underrated. No, for some reason, I don't know why they haven't traveled at least to the Midwest and made some sort of entry point here on the West Coast. And then we can move on.
No, the Cuban sandwich,
does it out here, Sari. Please don't.
No, they're not good out there, but the best Cuban sandwiches, you got to find like those hole-in-the-wall places in downtown Miami. The Cuban sandwich at Marlins Park, or Lone Depot Park, whatever it's called, still hits pretty well, though. The food at Marlins Park is pretty good.
You're paying, $25, and typically those things go for like $5 or $6. All right, go ahead.
Exactly. So, again, so that's kind of the quick history of why no one really cares about the Marlins. That's not even getting into all the stuff that Derek Jeter did. You're trading away Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees. And Derek Jeter, he fired Jeff Conine when Jeff Conine was a special assistant. Jeff Conine, Mr. Marlin, the most popular Marlin of all time. One of the first things that Jeter did was fire him. And so that rubbed the fan base the wrong way. And a lot of people felt like that was Jeter exacting his revenge for what the Marlins did to his Yankees in 2003. That 2003 Marlins team ruined a lot of dreams for people. And then there's also the
including
whole
Bartman,
including the Chicago.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Cubs and one Steve Bartman wherever he is at. So that is your quick history of why no one likes the Marlins. You know who I really liked this morning, Dan? It's one Kyle Harrison. I want to start off with the start that Kyle Harrison had last night. His second start since returning to the rotation. Five innings, one hit allowed, strikes out five. The three walks aren't great, but I'll take that from a young pitcher over five innings. But the best part about Kyle Harrison last night was the fastball. That's his bread and butter pitch, Dan. Last year, it was hovering around 92, 93 miles an hour all year long, and he was getting lit up. And to see him come in this year, and he's got that fastball back up to 95, 96. He hit 97 on the gun a couple times last night. Kyle Harrison looks like he's on his way to being back.
Let's not forget that it was just a mere year and a half ago, he was the top prospect. I'm talking in baseball. As far as a left-hander and a pitcher to keep an eye on. Now, I know he had some struggles and the injuries, but you're right. He's unlike a lot of the pitchers on the Giants staff, like Logan Webb, and for the most part, they're all about location and keeping the ball down, right? He's going to challenge you. Like, he has a riser. He comes up in the zone, and he's all about gas. Now, he offsets it with a slider and what have you, but he's sort of old school, man. He wants to overpower you. And the question I have going forward is, yes, strong performances, but what the hell do you do now? Because when Verlander's coming back, are you literally going to take Harrison and move him back to the bullpen?
I mean, that's a conversation. I think there's still another week or a few days before they have to make a decision on Justin Verlander. So that's going to be
interesting. Verlander's not going anywhere. He's going to be a starter.
Honestly, I think Verlander, I mean, he hasn't gotten a win yet. This is the longest winless stretch of his career. But the numbers, he has pitched a lot better than the numbers would indicate. He should have a win or two. He's been kind of screwed over by some bad offensive support as well.
The Giants?
I know. What kind of you know what's ironic, though? You talk about bad run support. A guy we're going to talk about later on the show, today's starter for the Giants, Robbie Ray, has gotten, I believe, the fifth most amount of run support in the National League, courtesy of this Giants offense. Because, you know, baseball is one of those things that makes a ton of sense. I want to get into that Verlander point a little bit later. But focusing on Harrison Still, though, yeah, you talk about that rising fastball. He had a moment at the end of the third inning, which he had a couple of his walks in that third inning. He walked Javier Sanoja and then Nick Fortes. He has runners on first and second. Augustin Ramirez lines out to Mike Yastrzemski, allowing the runner Sanoja to move over to third. He's got first and third with two outs now with Gilberto Hernandez making his MLB debut at the plate. And a very tough situation there for this young pitcher. I'm thinking, all right, how's he going to get out of this one? You know, you got runners on the corners that you put there for free. This is a tough situation for a young pitcher. So I was kind of leaning forward, like, let's see if he can get through this here. And then boom, 1-2-3 strikes, fastball. Get some 96 up in the zone inside to end that at bat. You talk about that rising fastball, Dan. That was where you really saw Kyle Harrison cook the most, I think, was in that third inning last night.
He is the corners. Why it's so encouraging to see what it is that he did last night is because I think he and Birdsong, you can throw Logan Webb in there because he's young enough. Those are your foundational pieces of this baseball team going forward, I truly believe. And to see a guy that they have as much invested in this guy. Now, sometimes it's like, you know, you don't just walk onto the field and be, you know, Skeens or just start overpowering guys from day one. Typically in baseball, which is why you have to be somewhat patient when it comes to Eldridge, is you have to marinate. They always say it takes like 500 at-bats before you really understand what's going on as a hitter at that level. And it takes, you know, upwards of 200 innings before you really understand the temperament of this sport and just so hard how it's played at the MLB level. And so I know that the expectations were somewhat unachievable at times when you think about what we thought he was going to be coming out of the gates a year ago. But he is turning into the pitcher that was as advertised. Like we're talking about, not only is this guy overpowering, but he's doing it from the left side,
which is rare, yeah,
of the hill. So he is a commodity. And to see a guy get up to 97 of the clock, you're right. I mean, he was around 92.
With movement, too.
And Harrison, this is the sort of excitement, which is why, and I'm glad that you will find out, Sammy, how you feel about this team, but I'm a glasses half full, and it's because of what it is you're seeing out of Harrison and these young pitchers, as well as the emergence of who I think is a star now in Elliot Ramos, that there's more optimism, I think, surrounding this baseball team, despite the anemic hitting. And I know it's easy to pile on, and we can have that conversation about the offense or the lack thereof. But I do think that when you think about what Kyle Harrison did last night, and more importantly, when you think about the future, there's a lot to get excited about the San Francisco Giants. And it's a lot of it is centered around, and it's centric around that young man in the left-hander out of California.
Absolutely. The voice you're hearing is Dan Devone. I am Sam Lubman. This is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. It is your source for all things Giants talk here on 95.7 The Game. There are 18 Saturdays left in the baseball season. I know it's a crazy thing to think about. And we will be on the air at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning, each Saturday morning.
How did you come up with that rest number? Did you calculate that?
I counted it, yeah. You want to see how many of these shows I got?
You were wired differently.
I was banging on the table for a while trying to get this show going. So, yeah, I'm a little bit geeked out on it. But the most important thing about this show, Dan, is I want to hear from Giants fans. So 888-957-9570, any and all Giants takes. I want to hear them. How'd you feel about that win last night? Are you feeling more confident about Kyle Harrison? Because, Dan, this was once a pitcher that Giants fans clutched as closely as possible, saying, no, you cannot trade him for, let me check my notes, Juan Soto. In 2022, Juan Soto was the big trade chip. And we had so many conversations at this station as to how in the Giants should be on Juan Soto. And the conversation was basically everybody but Kyle Harrison was on the table. If Kyle Harrison was the piece that needed to be added to the trade package to actually make Juan Soto come here, their Giants fans were out on that. They did not want to give this guy up. That's how highly regarded he was at the time, being the highest ranked left-handed pitcher. Because, you know, you mentioned, you know, Harrison along with Hayden Birdsong, Logan Webb. I'm going to focus on Harrison and Birdsong a little bit more here. They're both, you know, 22, 23 years old, you know, the same age as our producer, Steven Rizzotto, a.k.a. Pasta. And I remember a time when the Giants had two young 22-year-old starting pitchers. One was named Matt Cain, another was named Tim Lincecum. And those two starters led the start of a dynasty. And when you look at Harrison, when you look at Birdsong, now I'm not saying that Harrison and Birdsong are the second coming of Lincecum and Cain. Let's not go down that road just yet. That's a big expectation to put on those two. But when I think why Giants fans wanted to hold on to Harrison is they've seen a great team rise up on the back of great pitching. They've seen a great team rise up with the help of a dynamic lefty that can fire in that fastball. When you look at Kyle Harrison, when you look at the arrival of Hayden Birdsong, when you look at the presence of Logan Webb, I can see why Giants fans look at those three guys and be like, yep, that's the next triarchy that the Giants are going to, you know, roll into the postseason with. If you got Logan Webb on the mound game one, Birdsong game two, Harrison in game three, you're feeling good about that homegrown rotation right there, which is why I think a lot of fans, again, were so locked in on the concept of Kyle Harrison being the future of this team. And it was getting dicey last year. I think the Giants were kind of starting to fade out of favor with Harrison last year. He also had that ankle injury, and they had to rush him back from that ankle injury. Dan, I think he had a 3.96 ERA when he injured his ankle last year. Came back, and I believe it was mid-July, he had a 5.55 ERA when he came back because he just wasn't fully healthy yet. So last night was one of those nights where it's just you can start to put away all the bad that happened last year, and you can start to see why Giants fans were so gung-ho on not letting this guy get away a couple years ago.
Well, I do think we need to let this breathe a little bit because it's...
It's two starts. Yeah,
and Berlander's not even more than five innings and, you know, 80 pitches. So it looks good up to this point, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So
fair.
Very, very encouraging. I think the other thing that I would point out, Sammy, is that not only are these guys young, but there's sort of like a Brock Purdy-esque element to all of this and that they're under team control. Mm-hmm. These guys are cheap.
Kyle Harrison, big Brock Purdy fan, by the way.
Well, when you think about Harrison, you think about Birdsong, and you think about money, which the Giants still have a lot of on the sidelines there, despite the Willie Adamases and some of the contracts that they've taken on. The Giants, please, they're not going to the poorhouse anytime soon. But
Charles Johnson has plenty of money.
You get young talent, and you're right to make that comparison because you want organic talent. Think about their pitching and sort of the way Farhan addressed things over the last couple of years. And he would go out and rent a guy for a year. Whether it's Rodon, who, by the way, is lights out now with the New York Yankees after, of course, dealing with the injury last year. It was, you know, Blake Snell a year ago. You get these rentals for a year, and you're giving them upwards to $30 to $35 million a year. It didn't really make sense because it wasn't sustainable, and you knew that they were going to walk.
And it didn't vibe with the fan base either, Dan. Like, Giants fans want players they can wrap their arms around. And I'll always remember a couple years ago when Farhan, one of the bigger early moves he made a week into the 2019 season was acquiring Kevin Pillar from the Blue Jays. And Pillar, by all standards, had a pretty solid season that year. He was one of their best home run hitters. He was a great defensive presence. There's a lot of underlying metrics that kind of showcase why you don't want Pillar around. He struck out way too much, didn't get on base enough, very all or nothing. And the Giants non-tendered him after that year. And I remember going to a season ticket holder event that December. It was right after... right after Gabe Kapler was hired. And there was a lot of anger, obviously, at Gabe because of the whole stuff that happened with the Dodgers, which has been litigated enough. We won't go down that road. The second thing that people were most angry about was letting go of Kevin Pillar, who was there for a year and who was an above average player. Giants fans were furious that Farhan let this guy go. Giants fans want someone to wrap their arms around. When they did to Kevin Gausman, who was their co-ace in 2021, and they don't even offer him a deal after that year. There was Carlos Rodon, too, who I think in the last couple months, you know, he told me like, oh, I'd say nothing but great things about those places. Yeah, that was one of the biggest lies I've ever been told by a baseball pitcher. He wanted out so fast there. He didn't. I don't think he really enjoyed his time here. I think the same could be said for Blake Snell. But that's what's kind of this new era of Giants baseball. Giants fans, they want to embrace players, but more importantly, they want to embrace their homegrown players. And that's where it gets into why it's so encouraging to see Harrison, what he did last night. And again, you mentioned they still have the money to bring guys in. Hopefully, you know, we'll see fans start to embrace Willy Adames more. They already are embracing Matt Chapman more as well. So,
don't put that on the fans. That's on Willy Adames.
No, honestly, I think Willy Adames will be embraced by this fan base.
I agree with you.
No, he's a great
guy.
But
I don't have any issue with the Giants not embracing him. If you pay that much money, you're getting 26 per for the next 7 years, hit the damn baseball. I mean, the Giants, I mean, it's pretty fundamental. And I like Willy Adames, and I'm sort of like you, as well as Buster Posey. Just be patient. But asking fans at any sport at the professional level to be patient, it's an oxymoron.
Well, that's why fans, yeah, patience and fans, it's never really something that's gone well together. Adames did go 1-4 last night. He is hitting .209, though, so he's out there in the Stockton area with that batting average right now. How do you like that?
Shout out
there?
Los Banos as well.
Another guy who came through last night, and stop me if you heard this before, Dan, but Wilmer Flores really came through for the Giants last night. He continues to have a dream comeback season right now. He is probably the team's MVP, and he's got to be one of the leaders for the comeback player of the year so far this year in terms of just what he dealt with last year and how he is performing this year. I believe it was, what, RBI number 46 last night? Is that right, Steven?
You check that.
All right,
he's still in the top five, I think, in MLB.
He's I think in top three in the National League. I think Seiya Suzuki and Pete Crow Armstrong are the only guys with more RBIs in the National League than Wilmer Flores. And it's impressive to see. I'm curious what your thoughts on Wilmer are this year, Dan, because the way he has been doing it is very unusual. He's doing with a lot of soft contact. He's not, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of home runs, but he's not like really crushing the ball. But it's when he picks and chooses his moments. It's always when the Giants need it most, and it's always on these long at-bats. The first inning, he works an 11-pitch at-bat against Cal Quantrill before getting the single to knock in Elliot Ramos. It's just he is the hero the Giants need when they need him most.
Well, just think about where would this team be without Willy Flores?
The wild thought. I'd say, where would this team be without Willy Adames? That should be the question, but it's the wrong Willy.
Right. But I think I would say that, and you follow baseball more than anybody here at the station when it comes to the Giants, isn't it pretty accurate to say over the last 2 years that he's been the most consistent hitter? I know that's not saying much. Last year? I mean, I would say last year he's pretty much your best hitter.
Here's the thing. I've gone through a lot of emotions when it comes to Wilmer Flores. There was a time where he was probably the Giant that gave me the most amount of frustration. He made a play, I remember it was in 2020 against the A's on a Friday night. He failed to get a double play started that led to a brutal Trevor Gott ninth inning implosion. There was the Stephen Piscotty grand slam that happened in that game. Giants, I think, were up like 7-2 or something when that inning started, ended up losing that game. One of the worst losses I've ever seen this team take against the A's, and it all started with that bad play by Wilmer Flores. He was in my doghouse for a long time just off that play alone. And in 2022 and 2023, yeah, he was the Giants' best hitter. But like, Dan, I'm pretty sure if you grabbed a bat and got in the lineup, you would be the best hitter too on those teams, because those were not good Giants teams. Like, my question was, is Wilmer Flores good, or is he just having a career year on a mediocre team?
I think he's good. But he's a DH now, to your point.
Yes, he's not a defensive. He cannot play first. He definitely cannot play third. And so 2024 last year, he was dealing with a lot of injuries. And it seemed like, is this it for Wilmer? And the Giants still brought him back this year. And it's just, he's not really doing anything different. He's got his body healthy again. He's able to have the at-bats that he wants. And what you're seeing is the Wilmer that we saw in 22 and 23 is finally being able to do what he does best on a team that's actually good.
You know what I love about Wilmer Flores, and not to go Pat Burrell on you, Pat the Bat, or
love
to sound
Pat,
like some
Kane's
sort
legend.
Of hitting instructor. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't fire the hitting coach. I hope he doesn't lose his
gig.
This
isn't the Texas Rangers.
I mean, you know, that's usually the first guy to go when your team's not hitting. But what's so fascinating about him, and this is just from sitting on my fat butt and watching baseball games, is that most players today have that lead foot. They'll stride or they kick, right? They're talking about changing Willy Adames's his lift, like to reduce that, to sort of leverage out, and because he's getting too high in his stance, what have you. Wilmer Flores just loads up on that back foot, and it's all balanced. He doesn't move. He's absolutely stay. He does not stride, or he does not have that kick or that leg lift as a lot of hitters in 2025 typically do. He just loads up and shifts that body weight and has that compact swing. I can watch that dude hit all day. It's fascinating, but he's a veteran hitter. It's interesting because when you think about when he came up with the New York Mets, remember the day he thought he was trading and was crying?
I remember that,
but,
yeah.
But Willie Flores is a guy that was always thought of, believe it or not, as a glove guy. He was a starting shortstop when he came up with the Mets.
Yep.
And a light hitter. And now that's been completely reversed, where he's now a veteran hitter that, to your point, is patient, can work pitches, and a liability in the field. So he's the perfect DH. I just love the way the guy hits in terms of his mechanics are so odd.
And the approach, you mentioned the veteran savvy, the veteran presence. And he is, again, another part of the reason why this team is so successful is not just what he's bringing to the plate, but what he does bring to the clubhouse. Everybody in that clubhouse loves Wilmer Flores. Like, they speak so glowingly about him and the presence he has. And I think him being healthy this year and being able to be more present with the team, because when you're on the injured list, you're around the team, but it's different. You know, you're not truly with the team in the way that you are when you're active, when you're playing every day. And so I think having Wilmer back, being able to be himself this year, is just one of the many reasons why this Giants team is sitting at 32-25, three games out of first place right now. They're still very much in the thick of this thing, even though the offense is, you know, having some struggles right now over the last couple weeks here. We'll dive into that more
on
the other
struggles
side.
Some struggles, that is kid gloves, my man.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to sugarcoat it here a little bit. So, yeah, you know, let's talk about these Giants offensive struggles. And also Bob Melvin. I'm kind of curious where Giants fans are at on Bob Melvin now these days. 888-957-9570 is the number. Taking any and all Giants calls all weekend long, all morning long. Not all weekend. We won't be here all weekend. That's a lot. It is the Orange and Black weekend wrap. I'm Sam Lubman. That's Dan Devone. Bob Melvin, how are we feeling about him? How are we feeling about this offense? All that and more on the other side.
So here's Schmidt. Schmidt drives one to center field. Bailey's going to go back and tag. And here's the throw. It's online. And they got him.
Yeah, they're taking on one of the best arms in the National League East.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
That it is. That was Patrick Bailey getting...
What the hell was he thinking?
That was Patrick Bailey getting thrown at third base by Dane Meyers in the second inning of last night. Dwayne Kuiper with the call there for NBC Sports. Bay Area 888-957-9570 is the number. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. We want to hear from all you Giants fans. How you feel about that win last night? How are we feeling about this season right now? We will take any and all Giants calls and takes this morning. But yeah,
what was Bailey thinking?
That was a rough one last night. I don't know. Were the Giants just getting
Bailey really, for crying out loud?
First off, you're the catcher. You're not fast, but like that's when you're a team that's desperate for offense, you start making pressing moves like that on the base paths. You can't have that.
And then Fitzgerald
doubles right after it.
It costs you a run.
It costs you a run. It comes an inning after Elio Ramos tries to stretches a double or a triple. He should have been out as well. A better throw would have gotten him there. So,
especially when runs are at a premium. Like, come on. Is that on? I mean, is Matty Williams calling that? Like, what the hell are we doing?
I would have loved to have known what happened there. No one really asked about that yesterday. Bob Melvin, though, did kind of talk about just, you know, how the bats were better. He did talk about the base running last night. Here's what he had to say after the game about just the overall offensive performance of this team that did bang out 11 hits with only two runs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we got a great pitching performance by several guys. Our bats were better. We got a bunch of hits today. We couldn't get the big hit with runners in scoring position, but I thought our bats were better all the way around. We ran the bases a little bit better. I know it only showed up as two runs, but the pitching covered it.
Yeah, so he did mention the base running was better. Wasn't great. He mentioned it was better. But yeah, I would have loved to know what the thought process was on Bailey trying to tag up there, because you said it best, Dan, when runs are at a premium, you can't run into outs. You especially can't run into outs at third base. And it kind of offset a great hit there by Patrick Bailey. He had a great double off the left field wall there. Almost was out. And instead of kind of using that, I was talking with Risotto last night about, he was just like, it completely killed the entire momentum of the inning. And it absolutely did. I mean, he did get the Fitzgerald double right after that. But, you know, he got ends up being a two-out double, I believe. A two-out double because, remember, Casey Schmidt hit the fly ball there. You would have had basically one run in with one out and you top the lineup coming up. Instead, you got two outs, runner on second, and, you know, Mike Yastrzemski strikes out. The rally that could have been ends up not happening.
Yeah, there were two questions I would have loved answered, and maybe you can provide one of them. We didn't get the answer to who sent Bailey. Was that on his own? And why in the world was he doing that? And secondly is, why did Tyler Rogers come out of that game last night? And I think Tyler Rogers was, I'm going to assume that he wasn't 100%. I could have sworn that on the broadcast, he looked like he was favoring his arm, or he grimaced at one point.
Is it Tyler Rogers?
Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Well, okay. Well, then somebody needs to explain to me why did he... So he only throws to one batter, and then we're just going to...
So, no, Rogers is usually the eighth inning guy, but I know Bob also likes to bring him in. Like, I don't think he's a guy who goes, like, multiple innings like that. He's very... Honestly, the way Bob Melvin did the bullpen last night, I thought was...
I get it. I know where you're going with this, and he did well because he used all those pitchers, but...
I think it was kind of a gutsy bullpen performance by Bob Melvin last night. First off, he
had to get bit because Blivens was not good. And there was no reason. Tyler Rogers worked one batter, got the strikeout. Perfect setup guy to Camilo Duvall. I'm like, okay, Rogers comes out for his one inning. Where the hell is he?
Yeah, I think what was going on there is, so what happened there is I saw, so Harrison goes his five innings, and I think they wanted to get a bridge in that sixth inning there. So they go to Tristan Beck. Beck did not have his best stuff. He's walking guys, wasn't really going well. So then you got to bring Ryan Walker in a very difficult situation there in the bottom of the sixth inning. Walker's able to get that last out, though. He gets Dane Meyers to ground out. And then you go to Eric Miller in the seventh inning. Miller doesn't have it. So then you got to have to speed things up. That's why I think he went to Tyler Rogers.
No, I
like he had to bail out Miller there. But then you don't have your eighth inning guy.
Well, it's Rogers. Rogers threw to one guy.
I don't think Rogers is the guy who Bob likes to send back out there to start a second inning.
I mean,
maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe Tyler Rogers should be that guy. I agree with you. It would have been nice to see that.
It's a little micromanaging. He threw to one guy. He's your eighth inning guy, and he was economical in his pitches. He overpowered guys, and you know.
Yeah, threw four, five pitches. No, he absolutely could have kept going there. Going to Bivens, I thought going to Bivens was interesting in the bottom of the eighth. Bivens did get through it to his credit, out of a couple base runners, but he was able to get out of it, which is good. A better team, though, I don't know if it's as happy of an ending there. I agree with you. Maybe Tyler Rogers does come back out in the eighth inning. Or you know what? You got Jordan Hicks available. Let's go to Jordan Hicks in that eighth inning. It's been a couple days since Hicks has pitched, so maybe you don't want to do that.
Well, where's Rodriguez?
Where I was going to go to. Where was Ranrod? You know, I thought this is in one of those situations where maybe he has a scheduled day off.
Yeah, I think which makes sense.
Except for they had the off day on Thursday, and then he pitched on the, that was the 30th. He didn't pitch in that Wednesday game. So he was 2 days of non-throwing. So he was ready to go there. So, yeah, I thought that was a very risky move by Bob Melvin there, going with Bivens in the eighth. Because I see Bivens, and this is, we'll get into the bigger Bob Melvin conversation here, because, you know, I'm kind of curious where Giants fans are at on Bob Melvin this year. The bullpen management has always been the thing that a lot of the Bo Mel detractors will point at. Though I look at this bullpen this year, and it just seems like the roles are so set with this bullpen. Everybody knows when they're coming in, what they need to do, what situations they're going to come in. You know, Randy Rodriguez and Eric Miller, they're the guys you go to when there's guys on base. Rodriguez more so than Miller. Bivens and Beck, those are your long inning guys. Bivens probably more of a mop-up guy, still an important role. And then you got your back three, Ryan Walker, Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall, who is now installed as the closer, was made official this week. So you know when guys are coming in, and then you got Jordan Hicks kind of being this jack-of-all-trades swing guy who you can kind of deploy at any point in the late innings, and you know he's going to be bringing it with that heat and that movement. So you got really, really great defined bullpen rules that I think is going to make it very difficult for Bob Melvin to kind of find ways to mess that up, so to speak. But then you see what happens last night where the bullpen kind of gets thrown out of whack. And yeah, you do go to a risky move there. I think there were better options you probably could have gone to in that eighth inning.
Well, it's Tyler Rogers, and I don't want to sit here and second guess Bob Melvin. It's not what I'm doing, but I think that sometimes, you know, you sit there and there's head scratching moments. Like, well, it's Rogers. Just roll him out there for the eighth. I thought he literally thought he was hurt. I'm like, he must have.
I'd have to go back and take a look at that. One asked about that after the game.
Yeah, so. and to me, it's just an obvious setup, and you give it to Camilla DeVault. I mean, Bivens almost blew that thing, and if he did, that's on Bob Melvin. But we can get in. Now, listen.
Well, I want to finish up with this Pat Bailey conversation here before we move on to Bob Melvin.
Were we talking about Pat Bailey? Okay.
We were, yeah. We came back with a highlight there because Pat Bailey goes 2-for-4 last night, and it seems like every week he has one of these games where he gets a couple hits, and it's like, is this the moment he's going to get it together? And Buster Posey, he was talking about earlier this week about Patrick Bailey, how, again, the offense is whatever. What he wants, though, is he really loves how Patrick Bailey is basically leading this pitching staff right now. This pitching staff is one of the best in baseball. You got the bullpen is the best in baseball, just going off of ERA. And Patrick Bailey, he's the general out there. And Buster Posey, he knows, obviously, because he's Buster Posey, what it takes for a catcher to lead a dynamic pitching rotation. And the way Bailey is leading this rotation right now, the defense he's bringing, he had that back pick on Hernandez in the first inning last night. Harrison walks Hernandez, then he immediately gets picked off on the back throw there, which Patrick Bailey, one of the best in baseball at the back pick. As long as he keeps doing that stuff defensively, that bat, is whatever the batting average is, it's going to be staying in that lineup.
Agreed. I think he is the best defensive catcher in the game. And for that reason is why he continues to start. Lamont Wade's an entirely different story. We already saw the switch.
Defensive chops, yeah.
But can you hit a little bit, Pat Bailey?
See,
just a little bit. This is statistically, Sammy, the worst hitter in baseball going back to last year, going back to like last August in every match. The worst in baseball. And I'm... You know,
there are guys who play for the White Sox that exist too. So, like,
that's not a good club to be in. Of at bats, all right?
Yeah.
And he is all he needs to do is just give me a little bit, and it can justify, you know, you continuing to start and be my primary catcher. I think, and I'm one of those, I'm sort of old school. Like, when I was growing up, you would always sacrifice offense for defense in the middle of your diamond. Like your catcher, your shortstop, and your center fielder always had to be good defensively, and then it's your corner guy.
If they can hit, that's great, but yeah, I see what you're
saying. Yeah, and then it changed with like A-Rod, who became a five-tool guy.
Now the catcher, now like the shortstop especially, you got to be able to do everything.
Exactly, and your center fielder is pretty much the same way. The catching position is still so vital because you're handling the pitchers. Framing is essential in terms of your resume and being a good catcher in Major League Baseball these days. And it's not necessarily the arm strength, but it's the quickness. And this guy, his release is faster than anybody in Major League Baseball. So defensively, and you expect to get help once again at the corners from third and first, but it's obviously not happening with the Giants. But Bailey needs to give you a little something. I think, and I have a theory here, and I'd love to get your response, that he's playing too much. And I think that Joey Bart, which I think now we can all admit was a mistake.
Oh, yes. Well...
You would have a dual catching situation there had Joey Bart not been dealt to the Pirates for basically nothing.
Had to make room for Tom
Murphy.
And
the fact that Bailey is your guy and is catching, just because Huff isn't giving you anything either, he is in the squat too much. And you would have had Bart to sort of alleviate a little bit, because Bailey came up and he could hit. Like in the beginning of last year, I remember he could hit. So I think it's there. I just think the dude needs a couple of days off and reset just like anybody else. But you don't have that luxury. But you would have had Joey Bart been sticking around.
That's an interesting point there because, again, Dan, like his rookie year and then last year, you saw it. He faded down the stretch. And it's hard for – first off, it's hard to be an offensive catcher. You know, I mean, we've been kind of spoiled the last few years. Obviously, we got spoiled with Buster Posey, one of the best offensive catchers ever. Easily probably one of the better ones of this generation. Yadier Molina was able to do both. Joe Mauer was successful at both. That's about it, though. I mean, Mike Piazza, obviously, as well, but I'm staying just in the last, you know, 15 or so years. But when you're in the crouch, when you're in the squat, every single
Perez
inning, and then you got to get up. Salvi Perez, actually, that's a good one, too. I apologize for missing him. Probably one of the better.
Still going, by the way.
Oh, he had that home run against Logan Webb a couple Wednesdays ago. That, you know, right-handed hitter going into the arcade. That's very difficult to do, and he absolutely cheeked that thing out to right field. So this is all to say it's very hard to be in the squat every inning. Perez, by the way, he's playing first base more this year. Yeah. He's not playing catcher. It's hard to be in the squat every inning and then get up and go hit. Like, that's a lot of strain on your legs. So it's not easy to do what these elite hitting catchers that we've seen is doing. That being said, Bailey, as far as the playing time, yeah, 2 years in a row, he's faded down the stretch. I remember talking to him at the end of his rookie year and just being like, you know, what's the plan next offseason to make sure this doesn't happen? And he talked to me, you know, they got new.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nutritional stuff and working with Buster to avoid these same mistakes. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you're making the same mistake twice, like I tell you, so we're breaking a new producer here at the station, Zach.
And I'm Hoosiers.
He's one of our Hoos. You always got to have at least one Hoosier here at 95.7. It's been a while. You know, I'm explaining to him as he's getting started as a producer. Like I told him, one of the things that's going to happen when you're getting into this job is you're going to screw up. It happens. I've been producing the Morning Roast for 3.5 years. I still screw up at stuff. It happens. But
just not on my watch, Hoosier.
Exactly. But what I told him, though, is if you screw up, it's learn from it. It's when you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, that's when it's going to start to become a problem. So I think the similar situation, you're not doing that, Zach, by the way. I just don't mean to throw you know, call you out like that. You're doing good. With Bailey, it's, you know, the first year you're a rookie, you're still trying to figure out your place in the big leagues. It's a different routine. I get that. But then when you kind of talk about how you understood the changes you need to make, and then the next year you have that same fade out at the end of the year, it's like, dude, what's going on? And then so now you come into this year, and again, struggling big time at the plate, 2-4 last night. Also, but he's hitting 183 still. He's still on the interstate. Over the last couple weeks, last 14 games, a little bit better. He's hitting 200 with, a 333 slugging percentage. He's striking out 33% of the time, though, over the last 2+ weeks there, Dan. That's not good. You need to be putting the ball in play. Now, do I think the Giants make any sort of major changes around Patrick Bailey? Absolutely not. For as bad as that batting average looks right now, I feel like his seat is still very, very cold. And we had David Fleming, Dave Fleming on the Morning Roast earlier this week. We asked him about Patrick Bailey. And this is why he said basically the Giants are happy with what Bailey is doing here.
Buster said it publicly at the start of spring training. He said it to Patrick individually, and he said it to everybody. The number one job of the catcher is to be the leader, the captain of the pitching staff. And the Giants have arguably the best pitching staff in the game, and Patrick is doing more than his fair share in that regard. And that is the number one job. And in some ways, it's up to everybody else to pick up the offense. Like, in some ways, what the Giants' all-time greatest catcher has said is, let that spot be dedicated to what Bailey does best. And would we be talking about his offensive struggles as much if Lamont Wade were hitting and Willie Adames were hitting and Mike Yastrzemski hadn't fallen into a slump? We wouldn't be, probably. So I think the Giants internally are still focused on the great stuff that Patrick Bailey brings.
Again, they're focused on what he brings behind the plate. And I do think there's a bit of an unfair expectation from Giants fans when Bailey got off to that great start hitting his rookie year, where they're like, oh, it's Buster Posey 2.0. He's not. He's not Buster Posey 2.0 at the plate. He's up there defensively with the best in the game. He could even maybe one day be a better defensive catcher than Buster Posey. I'm not saying he is, but he could be. That's just how good he is defensively. But when the most respected catcher in the organization's history is saying that Patrick Bailey is doing exactly what we want him to do, that seems like a pretty good endorsement. Rizzo, you got in my ear about something. You want to bring something up about Patrick Bailey in response to what Dan said. What was that?
Yeah, just to back up Dan's point, Dan brought up last August kind of being, you know, how far this horrendous stretch of offense from Patrick Bailey has gone. And I went and pulled it up. And since August 1st, 2024, among hitters who at least have 250 plate appearances, Patrick Bailey is last in batting average, last in on-base percentage, last in slugging percentage. So I think it backs that point up pretty well. So last in weighted runs created plus. So he's 33 weighted runs created plus. And for those that don't know advanced statistics, that's almost 70% below the league average offensively. But the defense is carrying much of his value in that time. But I agree. Yeah, no change. I don't think.
Hey, Pasa, don't mess with me when it comes to numbers, man. I got my metrics down when it comes to this guy. Hey, Pasa, also, but you know what's fascinating about that? If you have his FanGraph numbers up, can you look at his WAR numbers, which are not that bad, to your point of just how good he is in defense?
Yeah, so his rookie year in 2023, he had a 2.7 WAR, and then last year, 4.3 WAR, while having an 81 weighted runs created plus. Won a gold glove, still with a 4.3 WAR, even with practically horrendous offensive production, and he's almost got one WAR this year. So there still is some value there. We're just not seeing almost anything with the bat. It's almost an automatic out at this point.
So here's how much fun I have with these.
He's on the plus side of a WAR this year.
Here's the fun I have with these FanGraph numbers here as Rizzo gets this call that's coming in. He's got that 0.8 WAR here. But so FanGraphs has an offensive and defensive rating. I look at it as kind of arbitrary because it's put together with a bunch of metrics that I wouldn't even know. So I take these ratings like WAR, like a lot of baseball stats. I take it with a grain of salt. You know, these stats are tools. They're not end-all be-alls. They're tools that can help paint a picture. But I think these two numbers here paint an incredible picture about Patrick Bailey. His defensive rating, which is the best in baseball, not the best in the National League, the best in baseball, is 12.8. His offensive rating, which is, let me just make sure this, is the second worst among all big league catchers, is negative 10.5. So there's a 22-point swing between his defensive rating and his offensive rating, which I think just absolutely captures the picture of the, you know, the Patrick Bailey experience. Great behind the plate, terrible at the plate. You want to know who the one catcher in baseball who has a worse offensive rating than Patrick Bailey is?
He's with the Colorado Rockies.
No, it's an easy guess. Close, though. That's the third worst.
Who is it?
That's Jacob Stallings is the third worst. The worst is Salvi Perez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But again, Perez has not played as many games at catcher as Bailey, I believe, this year. But he's played a lot of first base. But again, this is all to say, yeah, Patrick Bailey's offense, but pretty, pretty rough right now.
Just hit a little bit. Just hit a little bit. To your exactly. point, to I know, all you of
need,
our points.
I need to be above 200 at minimum.
Just if he gives you a little bit, it's justifiable right now, but it's gravy if he can just make a little contact. And I think to his defense, give him a night off, but you don't have that affordability.
No, Sam Huff is basically what every Giants backup catcher has been. All the way going back from Hector Sanchez to Chris Stewart to Guillermo Quiroz. One of my favorite conversations I had with one of the Giants beat writers, Grant Brisby, is how many random backup catchers can you name? They all are the same thing, though. The offense is whatever. They're just capable enough on defense. And that's what Sam Huff is. He's whatever on offense, but he's capable enough on defense. The Giants will trust him behind the plate. Who was our guy? Kurt Casale a couple years ago. Terrible on offense, but he was probably one of the best defensive catchers they've had. And one of the best just in terms of just handling the pitching staff, one of the better catchers that they've had during that time. 888-957-9570 is the number. Want to hear from you. Any and all Giants takes. We were just talking about Patrick Bailey, but Dan, we started off this show talking about Kyle Harrison. You brought up a very good point when it comes to Harrison in terms of what happens to him when Justin Verlander comes off the IL. Verlander is going to miss two starts, maybe three. We've seen those two starts now, so that date is coming up quickly. Theo in the East Bay wants to join the rap. He is kind of in the same boat as you, Dan. He has that same question about Verlander. Theo, what's going on, man? You're on the rap.
Yeah, man, thanks for taking my call. Really enjoying this show. Glad you guys are doing this Giants show on Saturday now. I'll be tuning in. But, yeah, sorry to get away from Patrick Bailey talk.
All good, man.
But, yeah, earlier in the show, you guys were talking about Verlander, and I was thinking the same thing. What do we do when Verlander comes back? Because Kyle Harrison, he pitched a hell of a game, won me some money yesterday. I bet the over on him to have more than four strikeouts. He got that done for me. But I'm thinking maybe, you know, go to a six-man rotation if that's in the cards. Or, you know, everybody is talking about trade rumors, trading for a hitter. I don't want to do that. I like the team that we got, like the vibes, like everybody is saying. But, yeah, my question is, what do we do? What I'm saying, go to that six-man rotation. Thanks again for taking my call, guys. Cheers.
I do like that bull take there, six-man rotation. I'm kind of curious how that would work for guys like, let's say, Logan Webb, who is so ingrained into that that every 4 or 5 days. But, yeah, it's a tough predicament here, Dan. It's a good predicament to have because, obviously, you got Webb, you got Birdsong, Robbie Ray is looking like an all-star, Harrison pitching well. But the complicating factor is also it's Landon Roop, who has pitched incredibly well the last couple weeks, his last few starts here. His last start was incredible. That curveball mixing very well with that sinking fastball that he has. If I had to answer right off the bat here and we're up against it, my guess was maybe if you won't want to put as much strain on Landon Roop's innings this year, maybe Roop is the guy you move to the bullpen, not just because he's for lack of performance, but he is, I believe, I still qualifies as a rookie. So again, throwing ideas out there, maybe that's the salve is Roop goes to the bullpen for a little bit, and they get Verlander back in the rotation.
Well, I think...
Which seems crazy because Roop has been pitching very, very well as well.
Yeah, I don't think Roop's going anywhere, and I think, unfortunately, it's going to be Kyle Harrison who's going to go back to the pen.
Now, and probably Tristan Beck goes down to Triple A.
And Verlander isn't going anywhere because of the contract, and the guy is going... He's going to be a starter when he's healthy, and he has been good. I know the numbers don't necessarily back it up. You can't go to a six-man rotation simply because I think, listen, you can. I just think that...
I don't think it really worked now.
When you get to that extra day off, I know it doesn't sound like much, and you would think the extra day of rest would be a benefit, but it's not for pitchers, and they'll tell you that you give me 6 days off, and I'm suddenly out of whack, and they're just very systematic in that regard. But I think, unfortunately, the odd man out is going to be Harrison. Now, again, I think it's been a small sample size, so we're certainly excited about the guy, but let's see him go a full... You know, 100, 120 pitches, stretch him out to 7 or 8 innings, and let's just see how he is in the, I think the biggest sort of indicator in pitchers, or what sort of gas do you have, or what do you have left in the tank when you get to the late innings? And so he's been pushed, but he's still under this pitch count of, what, about 75, 80 last night?
Mm-hmm, and that's
so let's just let him run and stretch him out to see exactly where he's at before we make these sort of overall indictments that the guy's back and giving him the Cy Young.
It's a fair point. Yeah, innings limits has always been Kyle Harrison's kind of bugaboo there. We can get into that more on the other side. Also, I teased the Bob Melvin conversation. So, Dan, I'm curious where you're at on Bob Melvin this year. was not the most inspired hire, I think, when the Giants made it. I liked it. A lot of fans were eh. I called him Bob Meh then because fans were meh on his hiring.
Well, it's because he's boring.
Which maybe that's a good thing. And so let's talk about that on the other side. That's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lubman. 888-957-9570 is the number. We want to hear from any and all Giants fans today. We'll go to the YouTube chat, too, at some point, too, because I think there might be some good points there. I know I saw our guy Skills in the YouTube chat. He likes to make some good points. So shout out to you, Skills, and everyone else on the YouTube chat, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. More Giants talk on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle-cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no-sugar-added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.